The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
It's a great feeling, but we got work to do. We get 7 days. It's our next opportunity to go out and compete, so we got to make sure we're maximizing and winning each day leading up to that game.
Teddy Bridgewater toughs it out. He comes back and restores some calm to the Broncos offense. Certainly had a chaotic feeling when Drew Locke got in there for a little bit, but did we see a reminder, more evidence that you've been right all along, that this team is much better offensively when they run their offense through their two running backs?
Well, I mean, how many times do you have to say that they're honestly the two best players on your offense? And why you wouldn't feature your two best players is beyond me. And yeah, they're... Here's the point, is that when it works, it's awesome. You know, when they get their opportunity to get 25-plus carries, it's awesome. The problem is when it's not working early, you just abandon it. It's almost an excuse not to do it, as opposed to saying, you know what, we're going to stay on this, we're going to continue to do it, we're going to figure it out. And... you know, we're gonna find what works. So that, you know, when it works, it's easy to be committed to it when you're getting 6 yards a pop. It's not as easy when you're 2 or 3 yards, and then you gotta grind a little bit, right? That's the problem. I mean, you come out next week, and if it's not working, will you give up on it? Like you have. Well, what was the stat I've seen? They're like 5-0 or whatever they are when they run it for 25 times, and they're 1-4 when they don't run it 25 times with their running back.
And it's not just running the football with these two. They are arguably your two best playmakers. Get the ball into their hands however you can. And I thought it was interesting. I've been clamoring all season long for them to throw more screen passes. And how about the drive that offensively, right after the Surtain pick in the end zone, they had the ball. It's only a 14-7 game at this point. And they're facing a 3rd and 10 at their own 35. Bridgewater to Javonte Williams on a screen pass.
Uh-huh.
Gains 14 yards. And then on the very next play, another screen pass to Williams, which he makes a tremendous play running with the football, breaking tackles, using his speed, goes for 42. That eventually leads to a touchdown. So, more evidence. Get the ball into these guys' hands. We can debate how you want to split the usage between these two, but I think one thing we agree upon... They got to be featured. They yes. Got to be featured. All right. Next on the Morning Brew.
The first pick, we was in a cover two us game on the backside, and two were in the wheel. Had to take it through. And, you know, next thing you know, he threw the ball to me, and I had to make a play. Second one, it was a tip. You know, tips and overthrows, we need those. I broke on the ball, and, you know, it tickets it out.
There is Patrick Surtain, who went out clearly motivated by my man D-Mac, who spent just about our entire pregame show yesterday railing against the fact that Patrick Surtain was overdrafted at number 9. You do not take cornerbacks that high. What will a cornerback ever do for you?
Yes.
To make that kind of an impact on a game. Well,
you don't take guards in the top 5. You don't take cornerbacks in the top 9. You don't. I mean, how do you keep all your rules straight?
I don't know. That's why he writes manifestos and audiobooks.
How
but
do you
Pat
keep
Surtain,
the rules right?
Pat Surtain had more touchdowns this week than Justin Fields did. Just saying.
Just throwing it out there.
Just saying.
Well, now Justin didn't play.
I know. But even had he, Surtain may have still had more. Next on the Morning Brew.
We just played good on defense. We really didn't add a fifth rusher much, I would say 7 or 8 times at the, you know, and we just kind of played coverage and tried to, the danger of that is, you know, Sid scrambling when you're rushing 4, because he's really good at that. And he did it a few times. I'm sure he was their leading rusher. So that's the danger. So we were able to survive that part of it.
Why, yes, Vic Fangio, you are correct. Justin Herbert was the leading rusher with four carries for 36 yards. A terrific defensive showing by the Broncos. Was this some dastardly defensive game plan put together by Vic that will instantly go to the dark web and be grabbed up by future Charger opponents to be used against them? Or was this just good defense?
I think it was just great defense. I mean, obviously they shut down the run. And when you watch, like when you watch them play on the defense, and I've got to go back and look at the coaching tape to just kind of see what they were doing. But just on the surface, man, whether they were playing zone or whether they were playing man-to-man, which they played both, you know, they mixed up their coverages, but just tight coverage in zone, matching up. When a guy gets into your zone, just match him, take him, and it becomes a man-to-man coverage. So it's a matchup zone. And so there was a lot of that going on, a lot of just matchup stuff. They were tight coverage. And when they did complete a ball, man, they were punishing hit. They were punishing the receivers. They were hitting, tackling, not a lot of, you know, not a lot of dirty yards after catch type of thing. And I tell you what, I thought they were tremendous, did an amazing job at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage, dominating that. And you got to tip your cap to them, man. They played great. And how about Browning and how about Young and the difference they have made? We've talked forever about having linebackers that can cover underneath the receiving core, you know, whether it's a wide receiver doing a shallow cross, whether it's a tight end man-to-man, whether it's a back out of the backfield. They did a tremendous job for almost the entirety of the day. The one that got away was a little Texas route, a little angle route by Eckert that went for a touchdown. But is it Eckert? It is Eckert, right?
It'd be Eckler.
Same thing. Eckler, yeah. Eckert.
Close.
Eckert.
You know, he's...
Oh, that was the guy from Red Dawn. I mean, that was subliminal. I said Eckert just because I wanted to hear it.
Eckert! Eckert!
What was my line? I can't
Coach,
even
Coach, it's going in the podcast.
Exactly.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You sound just like Josh.
So here we go. First pitch of the night. Fastball, and it's well hit to left field. Deep left and gone. First pitch of the ball game. Cole Calhoun, his fourth home run of the year as he ambushes John Gray.
I see what you're doing there, Millennial Ben. You're trying to ease the sting of John Gray, who the Rockies, all the Rocky apologists out there, said, hey, you know, the reason we're not trading him at the trade deadline is because they think they'll have a really good chance to re-sign him. And they made an offer, about $10 million per year. Well, the Texas Rangers stepped up, as we learned with good old Brock Osweiler. All it takes is one. And it was another team from Texas, the Rangers. John Gray getting $56 million over 4 years. And the Rockies will get that compensatory draft pick for him.
Oh, yeah, that sandwich pick.
I'm sure he'll be a keeper. Pick. I'm sure that guy will be a keeper.
Well, you know, the one thing they know sandwich picks. So John Gray's gone. Story?
Oh, gone.
Gone.
Gone. He may even be in Texas when it's all said and done.
Story gone. John Gray gone.
Yep. That's all right. This is just the prelude to being really, really aggressive in free agency. Because there's one thing the Rockies have proven over the last few years. Man, nobody does off-season shopping like the Rockies do. What did they spend? Zero free agent dollars last year?
Something like that.
It's like in the last two off seasons, ever since the Ian Desmond fiasco, I think they've spent like literally about $35 in free agency over the last two off seasons.
Mike, it's all about draft and develop.
Draft and develop, baby.
Draft and develop.
Yeah, it's not about draft and develop. It's about party decks and making sure the opposing fans are happy when they come to town.
Hey, now, the Tampa Bay Ray model, baby. Let's yeah. go.
Hey, even the Rays are spending money. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, we'll give you a chance to react. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. And we'll hear from James Maryland.
Oh, wow.
Could it be that James Maryland might be willing to eat a little humble pie? little leftover humble pie when it comes to Drew Lock. That's next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.